Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello, welcome to Film Fandango, the film extravaganza. My name's David Reed, and this is Marek Larwood.
That was terrible.
Was that different?
Film extravaganza?
Yeah.
I'm listening to this, trying it for the first time.
I'm giving them high-level expectations. We've got to now meet them. I'm trying to up our game.
If I would instantly stop a podcast that said extravaganza in the first...
Okay.
This could be the first time anyone ever listens
to this. I'll lower their expectations. Hi, welcome to Film Fandango, a turd in your eye of films.
No, not that, just...
Somewhere in between.
Hello, welcome to Film Fandango. We're going to talk about films.
Okay, fine.
This is David Reed.
Buongiorno.
My name is Marek Larwood.
And we are going to be your guides through the world of cinema for approximately some minutes.
We have absolutely no qualifications... And no right to be commenting on anyone's artistic work.
Can you get a qualification in critique?
Yeah.
Can you? You can do a...
A golden pen.
Ah, yes. He's the custodian of the golden pen. He only gives it to one person a year.
Yeah.
I want a golden pen now.
Well, you're going to have to work a hell of a lot harder, David.
Fine. Okay. Right. I want this. I need this. Okay.
And then one way you can start is by doing something like martial arts, maybe.
Yeah.
This is a segue into the film that you went to see this week.
Yes, yes, I did. We talk about mine first, then. I went to see The Raid 2. Redemption? It's got one of those subtitles.
And with a question mark?
Redemption? Question mark? It was called, like, Baradon, and then they changed it because no one knew what that meant.
The Raid 2.
The Raid 2. Now, I, for regular listeners, I bloody loved The Raid 1. It was my favourite film of 2 years ago now, maybe? Maybe 1 year ago.
Yeah.
And that came out the same year as Dread and was the same concept. Lots of people compared them, where our hero is a cop who gets trapped in a tower block full of criminals and has to fight his way out against all of the odds. Dread did it with sci-fi guns and The Raid... did it with martial arts, which is way cooler.
Choppy choppy.
Choppy choppy. So The Raid 2 is set shortly after The Raid 1, and our character, Rama, who's escaped this thing, has to go undercover in criminal gangs to weed out a corrupt cop to get evidence that he is working with.
Oh, I knew it. I didn't know it.
So... They actually arrest him, and it starts by going to prison and causing trouble in order to impress the Mafia Don's son, who is in prison at the time.
Chief Choppy.
Chief Choppy Choppy. Yes, I mean, that's the setup, and then he gets, you know.
Is it the same... Because The Raid was a really low-budget film. They filmed it on like, a 4 grand camera.
Yeah.
And it's some Welsh guy went over to... Where is it based against? Is it Hong Kong? No.
It's Malaysian.
And there's a Welsh director who went out there and...
Or is it Indonesian? I forget that, right?
I think it's Indonesian. No, it's Malaysian. In Indonesia, they're too busy killing each other, aren't they? I should get that right as well.
We know nothing. Okay, hang on.
The bloke's called Gareth something, who directed it.
Indonesia. It's Indonesia.
Right. Oh, it is Indonesia.
We'll go back. Yes, so it's Indonesian martial arts, which is called Pangkat Segat or something like that. I forget its name, but it's awesome. But it's a Welsh director called Gareth Evans.
Gareth Edwards, if you want to chop that guy there for me, please.
Chop him.
Do some more chopping and some kicking, please. Very good stuff.
The direction with the martial arts is choreographed perfectly. Like, the camera is just helping the action along. And it's just as good as The Raid, if not better, in terms of the fight choreography.
Really?
It's stunning.
But there's a lot more money going into it, I presume.
Yes. I mean, that's my only criticism. But actually, it would be, I'd level it at The Raid 1 as well, which is, when they try to make it into a bit of a sort of thriller with plot twists and changes, they're not quite as good at it, and it isn't that interesting. But you don't mind, because it's a minor wobble when the rest of it is so perfectly done. But it feels like an action film where they care about the character.
Okay.
So, you know, he's given his proper emotional beats and you know, the camera lingers on him when he's having a rough time rather than just go, get to the next fight, come on,
yeah.
You know, in the American style. It feels like The Transporter as a genre done brilliantly.
That's the thing. Well, I watched the first Raid, and I'm, as regular listeners will know, I am not a superhero action film fan at all.
Yeah.
Because I hate all the CGI things, and I think the fight, I instantly lose interest when someone starts fighting. But this, the fights in it, especially the first one I'm talking about, it's incredible. In a low budget film, they're doing much better action sequences than Hollywood.
Yeah,
and they're all and they're so, because you think these people are brilliant at martial arts.
Yes,
so it's interesting to watch them. It's like ballet almost at some point. Isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah.
And there's nothing better than watching ballet.
Absolutely nothing. I mean, bring it on. I think it's a slightly odd, silly world that actually ends up being quite endearing, even though this violence is incredibly graphic and gory, because like the old kung fu movies, there's it's weird that so many gangsters don't carry guns. But you don't care, because that's the world it inhabits, and if they carried guns, then it would just be sort of bang, you're dead, end of film, you know.
Yeah.
So the number of hoodlums who don't have any weapons on them and just run towards people with their fists, it's just immense fun. But there's so many good sequences. Like, there's a guy who only uses a metal baseball bat, and there's a woman who wields two hammers, and they get their own sequences, but it's building to a big climax at the end. It's so much fun.
I've heard really good things about it.
It's great. It's as good as the first one, but bigger. Like, it loses something in its lack of restraint. It reminds me of the series Prison Break, actually, if anyone saw that, where, whether you liked it or not,
the first series was amazing.
The first series was really tight because it's one location, and the second one opened it out into the real world, and it just got a bit lost. And this one feels like it occasionally is losing itself, but it brings it all back in and manages to make it intimate and about basically six guys, and it works.
Mark Bell,
yeah,
he messaged me this, said he went to see The Raid. He said it was really good, really good fighting, really good camera work, but the subtitles were too fast in places.
Interesting.
Did you find that?
No, I didn't. But
Mark Bell, you need to brush up on your reading skills. You need to be a faster reader.
Yeah, this is an intervention. No, I didn't find that. But, but I did find some of the talky-talky scenes to be not so needed. You know, there's a lot of it in there.
Is it long?
It is quite long. I forget its runtime. Is it just over 2 hours, maybe? It's 2 hours 30.
I bet
it is gory.
There can't be that
gory.
Many. I don't want to call them ninjas, but there's martial arts people.
Yeah.
In Indonesia, so it must be those are the same people, isn't it?
All the main characters who had proper sequences in the first one. Spoilers: a lot of them end up dead, of course, because that's the nature of it. Those actors are back in this one playing different people. So it is the same team again.
Okay.
It's the main guy who plays Rama is still playing himself, but everyone else is playing different characters now.
I was going to say, it must be really difficult to find it.
That actually adds to it, I think.
Oh,
I think
really?
It makes it better because there again is there's something there's something joyful about the fact that they're all doing it together again, and this is a gang that you're now getting to know. You don't mind they're playing other people. It's a film. You know they're other people, you know?
Yeah.
It's properly good. Like, there are some really, really impressive sequences that just sort of boggle the mind.
How many Davies do you give it?
You know, it's not a perfect film. I think I'd give it 9.
Whoa, that's really good for a sequel as well.
Yeah.
This could be one of the fabled sequels that's better than the original.
I don't think it's better.
Oh, okay.
But it is enough of the same, while still spreading its wings and trying to do something a little different to the first one.
Well done, Gareth Evans. You directed a fine film there.
Well done, you, Gareth.
Should we do some letters now?
Sure. Have we got any?
Yeah. I want to contact us.
Okay. Well, as I said before, never call me.
Okay.
You can contact us through the Film Fandango email address, which is dearfilmfandango@gmail.com. And if you'd like your letter read out or to introduce anything or just sort of give us abuse, maybe, then you can do that. That address again, dearfilmfandango@gmail.com. Or go to Facebook /filmfandango or Twitter @filmfandango, if you like.
Do you know what? And this podcast is for free, but we do rely upon your donations to pay for the Libsyn thing. David does this. We rely on them to pay for the hosting for the podcast every week, and also be put towards us going to see films. I'm never going to be the voice at the end of the advert. So if you want to donate to the, if you enjoy the podcast, you'd like to donate, it'd be really, really grateful, would help us out. You can go to
filmfandango.co.uk, and there's a link there you can follow. And to, it says donate in a button, and you click on it. And to everyone who has done, thank you very much.
Super duper. Do you want to read a letter then?
Yeah.
It's entitled Diplomatic Immunity.
Which, Diplomatic Immunity!
That's for the accent. So it seems we seem to be doing South African from a lot of these accents.
We're very big over there.
Rod.
We're like Rodriguez.
I will let you read it, Dean, and see if you can get the accent right all the way through, David.
All right. Bilton. That's how I get into it.
Oh, really?
Bilton. Right. Dear David and Merrick and Babby, I just wanted to confirm that other people like me do listen to the podcast and enjoy it, even though we don't always write in like that one bloke.
Christopher Webb.
I'm writing this as my cat has a cone on its head from an operation and got stuck in next door's garden at 6 a.m. and I had to rescue it because its wood couldn't fit back up into our garden. What? Couldn't fit in the garden? I don't understand. I was in a dressing gown and it was making a massive racket, and I was one gust of wind away from an Esbo. Point being, I can't now sleep or wake the wife, so I'm writing. Please tell us all what the funniest thing you have heard someone shout out in the cinema while a film is on. I laughed once so loudly at the back that some joker down the front copied my laugh, and then the whole cinema laughed. Wankers. Thanks. P.S. I'm not South African. Philip from Sussex.
Thank you, Philip. I enjoyed that email.
It's very good.
So if you see a guy in his garden with his wang out, it's probably Philip.
It's probably Philip. Or the cat with a cone on its head.
Yeah.
Around its head, I assume, rather than on its head.
I think it's much better if you imagine the cone on the...
You're doing it wrong!
I've got a story for this.
Yeah, go on.
I was, it sounds a bit nasal, but I've been in a film.
Yeah.
This is when people used to actually cast me for stuff.
Yeah.
It's called Magicians. It was a Mitchell and Webb film. It is average. I had a small cameo in it, and there was no. It was so low budget. I think the budget was about not very much.
£200.
Yeah. and there was no. We didn't get invited. There was no press screening or anything like that. It's the first time I saw it.
Yeah.
I had to go to the cinema to see it.
That's so classy.
I went with my then girlfriend to the cinema on Holloway Road, the Odeon, which is pretty horrible cinema. And there were six people in there, and I sat at the back, and there was another couple, and then the two other people were either drunk or crackheads, and right. they proceeded to shout at the screen all the way through, oh, some expletives coming up now, this is fucking shit, who the fuck are these people, this is fucking shit. Apologies for swearing. So I was terrified they were going to recognise me.
And then blame you for that yeah. terrible time.
So the only time I've ever gone to see myself in a film, I had someone, it's been a cinema with six people in it and someone shouting expletives at the screen. Can you get a more glamorous film career than that?
Oh, you should have gone up to them.
Hi, I'm the guy you've just been throwing it on.
Who the screen. Fuck are you? It's like, it's me. I heard a fantastic story, not from my life, from the life of actor Christopher Lee.
Okay.
Where apparently, so the story goes, he had some time to kill in some small town or other and saw that the local independent cinema was showing his original Dracula, like, you know, decades and decades old now. And so he went to see it. He just went, well, you know, see what's going on, see if people like it. And he went and sat at the back, you know, and there was no one else in the cinema. And then, just before it started, two teenage girls walked in, walked down the aisle and sat near the front, didn't spot him at all, and watched the whole film and screamed their heads off all the way through, like it still had the impact.
Oh, really?
And just before it finished, he walked down the aisle and sat in the row behind them, and then when it finished, he leant forwards and went, "Did you enjoy that, my dears?" And they screamed and ran out.
Wow. Wow. I mean, that would make you believe in the undead forever, wouldn't it?
Oh, totally, yeah. Although you go, oh, Dracula's got old.
Yeah. there's another one here.
What? Another what? A Dracula?
No, an email.
Oh, good.
Do you want to read it?
Yeah.
Well, I went to see an Indian film.
Yeah.
So why don't you read it in an Indian voice?
I'm not doing it in an Indian voice. I'm not doing it in an Indian voice.
Why is that? Because it's racist.
I think it might be.
Why is it, though?
I don't know, but it is.
But if Indian people do white people's voices, that's not racist.
Yeah. You can do it in an Indian voice.
You do it in the Indian voice.
No.
Do it in a normal voice, then.
A normal voice. Okay. Greetings, David, Buddy and Marek, in order of assumed hairiness. Oh.
Yeah.
Are there any film critics whose negative opinion of a film will spur you on to watch it, as you know their tastes are so different from yours? I have this whenever Marek talks about mainstream films. I've just been spurred on to see Muppets Most Wanted. See also superhero movies. When Marek talks about foreign or art cinema, I go with his opinion 100%. Love the podcast. Yes, I will keep watching the films. I am from Stockport. Oh, he's from Stockport.
Oh. Well, am I not just right? I think Marek is bald and he's a bit of an arsehole.
But that's from at Lord Tooth. But Lord Tooth agrees with you on
art French, films.
French and art films.
I do like French films.
Thank you, at Lord Too.
Any critics did it for you?
I try not to read reviews. You know, I do this thing where every now and again I get seduced by the glossy covers of magazines like Empire or Total Film and I buy them. And then I get as far as the review section and go, I don't want any of these films spoiled. I like going to see films knowing nothing about them. So I go straight past reviews and don't read them.
Yeah. I think, excuse me. I think Mark. I normally trust Mark Kermode.
Yeah.
Who is a you know,
he does like some odd things though.
But
sometimes.
That's what annoys me. He picks out these like Barbarian Sound Studio.
Yeah.
Which is the one I always forget to mention. It was his film of the year. It's a terrible film. It doesn't make sense. It's just shot nicely. So it's sort of. But he picks these odd favourites and he champions these films. Aren't very good, which makes me sort of distrust his judgment. Do you know what I mean? He seems to be emotionally tied to some films the way I am to Flight of Dragons.
Almost like he's a different person to you.
Yes,
I don't like that.
Everyone should really have the same opinion.
I think that would be good.
That's not a dangerous way of thinking, is it?
No, but I am willing to punish those who think differently.
Yes, because it just needs... I want to wipe them out.
Yeah. So I have got a problem with people acting differently to me, just if they think differently.
Yeah, I want to wipe them out to avoid future arguments. That's what I'm doing.
I mean, there would be world peace, wouldn't there?
Exactly.
But as long as it's me that everyone has to be the same as...
I mean, it would be world war at the start, but ultimately...
Ultimately, it'd be worthwhile. Plus, there are too many people anyway.
And you cut down the people.
Cut down the surplus population.
There we go.
There's some fascist diatribe for you.
I've been to see a film.
What film have you been to see?
Oh, did you want to say... We've discussed that, haven't we?
Yeah. Have we?
Yeah. I went to see a film. It's called The Lunchbox.
It's porn.
Why do you think it was porn?
A lunchbox is American slang for your junk.
Yeah, it's because Linford Christie's lunchbox was famous when he did a... Linford Christie is a British sprinter, if they didn't realise. He won the Olympics in...
the past.
96 or something,
92. Was it not the
80s? Maybe... And you know when you watch 100 metres, wearing those tight things.
Yeah.
It all just gets shown, doesn't it?
It all does.
Anyway, there are no
wankers.
Yeah, there's no visible penises in this film.
Okay, is that important to the review?
No, it's not important to the review. But I just want to get out of the way. The Lunchbox. It is a film about, well, in Indian culture, they do a thing where they have the tiffin tins where they get their lunch delivered.
Tiffin.
They get their lunch delivered every day. So the whoever is staying at home, normally the women,
yes,
cook the make these tin lunches. So you have like different containers. It's like a metal it stacks together. It's like a stackable. Have you not seen it before?
No. Oh. I've heard of tiffin. They bang on about it all the time in Carry On Up the Khyber.
It's a stackable. I think they're called tiffin tins. I'm sure they are.
Right.
Excuse me. A stackable container, metal container. So you put the rice in one bit, then you put the maybe chicken.
A bit like a bento box.
Yes, very much like that. But it's and they get put them in little sort of sacks and they get delivered. And it's really famous. They get delivered every day for people's lunch times. And it's they never make any mistakes. So there's thousands and thousands of these being delivered for lunch over the whole business district of India, and it's about that really. And one of them, it's about the food, the meal that a woman's cooking, not going to a husband but going to another man.
Oh.
And on the basis, so this guy who's about to retire from his job as he works in a government department in the claims department. It's a lot of red tape. It's very boring. He's about to retire, and suddenly his wife died. He's got quite a lonely life. Suddenly, he receives this lunch isn't for him, and meanwhile, the wife he sent to him is having problems with her husband, and she's trying to win his heart back through his stomach by making all these nice meals, which he isn't getting. But and then she figures out someone else is eating it. She asks her husband about it. She finds out someone else is eating it, and so slowly they start passing messages in the lunch, and the romance ensues.
An affair.
Mm.
Does she know it's not going to her husband?
After the first couple, yes.
Okay.
And meanwhile, the guy he's receiving, the old guy, he's in his 50s. He's got a new, he's like apprentice guy. He's got to teach, taking over his job that he becomes friends with.
Is it a sexy relationship?
It is not sexy. It is very, I would say, this is almost like the Indian version. It's very...
You've got mail.
Of Remains of the Day. It feels like Remains of the Day.
Okay.
With Emma Thompson and
Anthony Hopkins.
And it's restrained. Nothing really much happens. You just have... It's all about the manners and the etiquette and two people build it. Very, very slow. Very... It feels awash with Indian culture. Sort of quite a unique film that can only be made because of this tiffin tin thing they do for their lunches. Yeah. It's a nice slice of Indian life. And I like the lead actor, the Indian guy. His name is Irfan Khan. He's been in quite a few things.
What's he been in?
You recognise him if you see him. He's in the Amazing Spider-Man. He's in Life of Pi.
He's in Slumdog Millionaire.
Slumdog Millionaire.
How old is he, the main guy? Oh, that guy. Yeah.
He's very good.
He's the guy that Rafe Spall is interviewing in Life of Pi.
Yes. And I think he's even better in this, but he's just very very understated. It's very small, understated, about two very reserved people finding a new relationship in a quite a sort of static lifestyle that is very... the culture is very... I can't think of the worst. I'm rubbish again. It just feels like it's 1920s England almost, replicating that in the way everyone's just...
The Raj.
Yeah, but... The whole it doesn't feel too modernised, and they're stuck within sort of the etiquette of relationships and the sort of pride and how and the morals of how to behave are quite sort of force them to behave in a certain way. I thought I really enjoyed it. I enjoyed the colours of it. I enjoyed watching a different culture, watching all the people on the trains and going to work, just that it felt it wasn't too large, it felt really realistic. It's a really sort of slow, real, small film, which is quite touching. But.
Yeah, oh, there's a but. There's a but with your lunchbox.
Does it really have enough to sustain a film?
How long is it?
An hour and 40 minutes or so.
Okay, so that's a decent length.
Now I've got another gripe to say about this film.
Right.
Well, but part of it was what I thought. You know, why don't they just take lunches to work with them?
That's your gripe with India rather than this film.
It seems a hell of a lot of work just to just do it in the morning and put it in the microwave. There's a whole huge industry of these people shipping these different. And it's so meticulous, they never make a mistake. So I just thought, just take it with yourself and put it in the microwave. I watched this film. This film was being released in the UK at the cinema, and also, which what they do at the BFI and the Curzon, you can watch it online and their things. So I watched this film online.
Right.
I think the price is extortionate.
Really?
Because I thought I'll save money because I'm skint this week, so I won't go to the cinema. I can watch this new release at home.
Yes.
It's £10 to watch it.
To watch it on your
computer,
telly.
Yeah. So it's almost the same as going to the cinema. How can they charge £10?
Yeah. To watch a thing. Yeah. I mean, £3.50, surely.
Yeah.
Max.
I think it's crazy. And also the BFI player was really rubbish, really poor. Kept on stopping, and there's a few glitches in it. And I tried it again the next day to think where was my computer and reload everything. In the actual film on there, there's a few glitches. Which
not
is
good
terrible.
Enough.
And that's the BFI. Come on. Stop charging £10, which is a cinema price, to charge a deep... They're clearly taking all the money. Disgusting. And the Curzon as well. If you watch it on your computer, just charge £5 maximum. £10 is way too much. I must be the only person stupid enough to pay for that.
I think there's plenty of people stupid enough.
Yeah, who knows?
Oh, you are stupid, though. That's...
Yeah, I am very stupid.
No, for doing that, I'm not saying generally.
I know, but I am.
Okay.
I give it 7 Marics.
Oh, so still liked it.
It's a bit different, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, I'm wondering if we're going to get more Eastern culture coming over, because it seems like a slightly untapped area. I do know that a big sort of... HBO style, I don't know who's making it, drama is in production at the moment, set during the British Raj over there. So, sort of Downton Abbey alike, but over there. You know? So, which, again, we'll have all of that. It is just more interesting, isn't it? Immersing it in a culture you're not as familiar with. I think
They did sort of break into little bits of English as well, which is quite interesting. Very interesting, actually.
Hmm.
So, if you want to pay... £10 to watch it at home, do that, or go to cinema where it may even be cheaper.
That's true, it would be in most places, I'd imagine.
Hey, guess what?
What?
I think that's it.
Ah, short one this week. Well, that's fine. Well, we'll be back next week, listeners. Thank you for tuning in. You can catch The Lunchbox online or in a cinema, I guess. It won't have a general release, does it?
I think he did go out. I saw a post of it on the tube, and that's what made me think I'll watch it online. It's available online as well, simultaneous.
I like the simultaneous release. I see it as a good business choice for small movies,
yes.
So they can find everyone who's interested at the same time, rather than having to have a second push that costs them more money later on for DVD, and then another one that costs them more money again for streaming online. I think it's a good option. I can see why the big blockbusters aren't going to do it, because they want to break those box office records. But
and
for films that are never
rubbish.
Going to, then why?
Yeah,
why
yeah.
No, I'm a big fan of it. They need to work it out. Yeah, the pricing needs to be worked out. I watched A Field in England that way.
Yeah, I didn't like that film. Buddy's been very... He's been asleep for that. It's the quietest I've ever seen him.
Yeah, yeah, he's knackered.
Mm.
Do you want me to wake him up to prove to the listeners he's here?
No.
Okay.
Let sleeping dogs die.
Good call. We'll be back next week. Keep watching the
films. Keep watching the films.
Bye-bye.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.